Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast so that you can grow your business. My name is Justin J. Moore, your host, and I create podcasts for founders and coaches that only take them an hour a week to manage, but that make a huge impact on their business and let them show up in front of their ideal clients every day on every platform, stuff like that. I'm also a singer-songwriter, and I have millions of streams on my songs, and that's where my heart is. And so now you know me anyways, and this is really weird because today's guest is also Justin Moore. So I wanted to give that longer intro so that you didn't get confused between the two Justins. So anyways, this episode is going to teach you how to get sponsors for your podcast by pitching a little bit differently, the different ways that you can actually fulfill being a sponsor, like creating short form or putting your podcast, a bunch of other stuff, and why it's important to think about getting sponsors, even if you're using your podcast to sell your own product. Because a lot of people think that, you know, why get a sponsor when I can just sell my own stuff? And so we're going to get into all that stuff and a lot more. This was a super fun episode. Paid a lot of back and forth jokes about both being Justins. So I hope you enjoy it. Let's get right into it. And before we start, as always, I just want to invite you to my free community for podcasters looking to grow their podcasts for their business. It is on the platform called School. There's a few hundred people in there. We share resources and trainings that you can immediately implement into your podcast to get more clients from your show, to get more downloads, and to make podcasting easier and more fun. Hope to see you in there. The link will be right in the show notes. Let's get into it. Okay, this is weird. This is really weird. I would like to welcome Justin Moore to the podcast. So what's going on, man? What's happening here?
Correction, the real Justin Moore, actually.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah.
Get it straight, man.
It's the weirdest thing. Like I was telling Justin here before the call that my team was seeing that I had a call scheduled with Justin Moore, and they're like, what's going on here, man? Like, what, you know? And then I told my fiance, like, I'm interviewing Justin Moore today. And she's like, this is the weirdest thing ever, you know?
You know what's funny is that I was on another podcast last week, and the host opened with like, so I hear there's another Justin Moore out there. And I immediately thought she was talking about you. I was like, yeah, I met this guy at Podcast Movement and all this stuff too. And she was like, what are you? It was like, she was talking about the country singer, Justin Moore. So like, before I met you, of course I would have made that association. But now that there's a third Justin Moore in the Justin Moore multiverse, Things are getting a little confusing. Bro.
Yeah, there's actually like I was having to deal with just the one Justin Moore, the country singer, because I'm a singer too, and every time somebody searches my name up, they're looking for my music, they find him. But now there's you as well, and I went on to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said, you know, the co-host who didn't really know me said, you do sponsorship stuff, like I've seen your content. I'm like, that's not me. I'm not the sponsor guy. It's the weirdest thing how it starts happening like right after meeting you.
Well, you know what? There's not enough room in this town for the both of us. So one of us is going to have to change their name.
Well, and I'm moving to Italy.
It's not going to be me. Is that you're moving to Italy?
I'm moving to Italy in a couple of months. So North America's all
Justino,
yours.
Justino Moore. Yeah,
exactly.
It's going to be perfect, bro. Yeah. Dude, that's
so
funny.
You can take North America. You can have it. But yeah, man.
Dude, I'll take it. All right, I'll take it. That's so funny.
We actually met for the first time at a podcasting convention, Podcast Movement in LA. And I'd known about you for a while, but I saw you there and I was like, this is my chance to introduce myself. And then now you're here. So makes perfect sense. I mean, sponsorships, like getting your podcast sponsored, I think is the, like you said before this, there are so many myths, and there's probably myths that I see from my side and different ones that you see from your side. Because what I hear a lot of people say when they first start a podcast is like, I just want to start making money and get sponsors right away. And one of the things that I tell them is like, you know, that's sort of a later thing, a much later thing. But I'm curious to hear your opinion on that, and you know, how to actually go about getting sponsors and you know, what to charge, that type of stuff. But to start it, why don't you just give people a brief overview of what you do? I would specifically love if you went just a little bit into your story of doing this with your agency, and then the story of what happened with COVID and everything. So stage is yours for that.
First and foremost, like, let me just real quickly drop the fact that I was in a metalcore band in high school, and I'm also traditionally trained in opera. So I am also a musician. So this is getting intense real quick.
Wait,
here,
the
bro.
Opera thing? Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear to God, dude. Yeah.
That's so strange.
So this is actually getting a little Twilight Zone-y. But so if I went way back to like when I started in my childhood, no. Okay, so the quick story is that my wife and I started on YouTube about 15 years ago in 2009. She started her first YouTube channel. I was not even in this. I was in medical devices, man. I'm an engineer by my background.
Okay.
And so it was very much her passion project. Like she just, you know, this is way back in the day, really before you could make any money on YouTube. I mean, the AdSense partner program was just starting. In fact, she got rejected 3 times from that program before. So it was very much like in the beginning, she was making videos just as a hobby, right? For fun. And what ended up happening was that, you know, her channel was all around beauty and cosmetics and, you know, fashion, that type of thing. And so brands started reaching out, offering free stuff. That was how it first started, when it was like, here's a free hair curler. And we were in our young 20s and we're like, awesome, we don't have to pay for stuff. Like,
that's great.
You know, cosmetics are, you probably know with your fiance, that type of stuff is expensive, right? And so we were very excited. But as time went on, and by this time I had enrolled in a business school at night, and I was taking all these classes around, you know, advertising and negotiation and, you know, marketing and all this stuff. And I just started to think, you know, we started to see these comments on her videos all the time, like, oh, thanks so much, I just went out and bought it. Or, oh, wow, I didn't know that product existed, like this type of thing. So we started getting all these comments, and you kind of started to realize, like, maybe we're getting kind of the short end of the stick here, you know, just getting a $20, you know, makeup palette or something, right? And so I told my wife, I was okay, the next time that the brand emails you, like, say, how, do you have a budget for collaborating with me? And she's like, there's no way a brand is going to like pay me for this, right? And sure enough, the next time I reached out, and brand said, oh yeah, sure. If you, one of the first brands said, yeah, if you include our products in your videos twice a month, we will pay you $700 a month for 6 months. And we were like, that was like the majority of our rent at the time, like, you know, back then.
It's beautiful.
And so we were like, how many brands could we get to find to like get a deal like this, right? Imagine we could get 10, 15 brands doing this, right? And so that really opened our eyes, because initially, you know, we had only ever been kind of, you know, W-2 kind of employee-based earners, right? Like single income. And, you know, maybe you get a, like a cost of living raise or promotion once a year, 3%, whatever, right? But it was like, here it was this thing, this really interesting thing. It was like kind of like no ceiling to the potential income that we could make, right? Doing this kind of side hustle. And so started doing lots and lots of brand partnerships. And then basically the idea behind why I decided to start the influencer marketing agency was like, candidly, it was diversifying our own income as a family. We were like, look, things are going really well right now for us personally, but the likelihood of, you know, our quote unquote influencer, our, you know, people watching us and viewership and stuff lasting for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, pretty low, probably. I mean, it's going well now, but so, you know, while we had the tiger by the tail, I was like, you know what? What if I could help other creators, other friends of ours get deals? Because we're pretty good at this. Like a lot of our friends would come to us and be like, how are you getting that many sponsorships? And frankly, it was from applying a lot of the principles that I was doing in my day job as a project manager of like deadlines and being very communicative and being reliable and all this stuff, which a lot of creators are not, right? And so a lot of brands would come back to us because it was just such a great experience. I was like, what if I could duplicate that same experience at scale for other brands, other creators? And so this led me down the journey of running an influencer marketing agency for 7 years, you know, paying out millions of dollars to other creators for campaigns. And so this kind of yin and yang of my personality and my experience set is what ultimately led me to start creating content on YouTube in particular about this topic of like sponsorships. Because, man, I saw so many mistakes that people were making being on the receiving end of, you know, when you reach out to a creator, like our agency, we reach out, hey, well, this brand wants to work with you. And they like don't respond for 10 days, or they respond, yes, you know, and there's like eight questions we'd ask them, you know, and like, you know, there's all these like how to negotiate, how to be more communicative. There's all these things. And so, you know, it really shocked me that there was so much appetite, I think, for learning about this type of stuff. And it led me down this path over the last 3 or 4 years of building this education and media company all around sponsorship strategy.
So two things I want to say. So first of all, I actually went down the rabbit hole of your life a little bit when I was just, well, first of all, when I first found out there was another Justin Moore, I had to know what the origin story was. But I found your wife and she's got a huge following on Instagram. I didn't know you guys were on YouTube. I didn't know that was the main platform, but that's fantastic. So you built the business. Like, it's like some people put the carriage before the horse, but you were the total opposite way. Like you had the thing, you were successful in the thing, and then you realized, hey, I've created a system here with what I've done. And like you said, you're an operations person, so your brain thinks that way. boom, you have a business, and that's amazing. So kudos there. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was I completely understand like the need for education around getting sponsors. And I will like plug a personal thing in here. I have like, this was something that was a major consideration for me for a while, because I, in 2020, started gaining a huge amount of traction on Instagram and TikTok, like lots, like 10, 20 million views a month, like just tons and tons of traction. And the first thing that I was thinking is, how can I get brands involved in this? I'm using a microphone in my videos because it was all music stuff. I'm using a stand for my mic. I have a cord that I'm showing here. I have like, and same thing. People are like, what's your microphone? What interface are you using? What plugins are you using? And I'm like, just sharing it and sharing it and sharing it and getting these people business. But could not, you know, this is where I would have needed someone like you to come in and say, how can you maximize this? And so I really, really get this. And I love that I'm talking to you right now. So let's get right into like some actionable things. Like, let's talk about sponsorships as it pertains to podcasting. So the first thing that I want to ask you, and you can give whatever context this question that you need, but what level do you think that a podcast needs to be at before even thinking about sponsorship? And also, what needs to be in place for a podcast to even be viable for sponsors?
It's a great question, and one I get very frequently, because a lot of people have this kind of arbitrary threshold in their mind of like, I have to hit, you know, 1,000, you know, average downloads or listens per episode, or I have to hit, you know, something. Maybe even an advertiser or a brand told them one time, they reached out and they were like, we only work with people who are like above this threshold. And so a lot of podcasters think like, oh, I guess that's what every brand thinks, or that's the threshold for every brand. And so they just never do it again. They never reach out, or they never respond. And that's a big myth, because yes, of course, there are some brands who have these like minimum thresholds, but a lot don't. And so a better way to think about this is something that I call the sponsorship continuum, because, you know, let's imagine this kind of this line, right? Okay. And at the very beginning of the line, this is like where you don't have a lot of experience. You don't have a very large audience or listenership. You don't have a lot of influence, or you're kind of right at the nascent, you know, beginning journey of your career. If you were to reach out to a brand and say, hey, I'd love to talk about your brand. I've been using it for 3 years. Let me do an you know, ad insertion or an ad read on my podcast. It's going to be $500 or whatever. The brand's not going to really be that excited, because it's probably not going to move the needle for them, right? However, the thrust of your pitch, if you tweaked it slightly to say, hey, you know, I just did an audit of your overall presence on social media. Or, hey, I noticed that you, brand, that you don't have a podcast for your company, or you don't really have a lot of blog posts, or you're not posting on social media very often, YouTube, TikTok, whatever. I actually think you could be telling your brand story in a more compelling way. I could create a podcast for your company. I'll be the host. I'll interview your customers. I'll interview potential leads for you. I'll create some content that you can repurpose on your website for paid advertising, for social media, et cetera. And oh, by the way, go look at my podcast, because that is my portfolio. And so what you're pitching them is not like to natively, you know, utilize your own platforms. And it's to actually help the brand in a much more comprehensive way. And a lot of people don't think of this as a sponsorship. They're like, well, what do you mean? This is not really it. But it actually is, because you are flexing a bit more of your consultant muscle, but showing them that you understand how these things work on the internet. Because even though, quote unquote, you only have 200, 300 average, you know, listens per podcast, to a lot of brands, that's really impressive and helps them understand like, okay, this person is not just a nobody. They understand what they're doing, right? And so that's the beginning of the journey, right? Then let's say that you grow, right? Now you're getting 1,000 average listens or downloads, or 5,000 or whatever, right? When you reach out to the brand now, perhaps your pitch is a combination of consulting, you know, content for the brand to use on their platforms, for social media, et cetera. And yes, maybe syndicating or amplifying that content on your podcast now starts becoming meaningful. That could be part of your pitch now, right? And now we're at the very end of the continuum. You're getting tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of downloads per episode on your podcast. Yeah, the thrust of your pitch now can become, yeah, I'm going to natively, you know, do ad reads for you on my podcast exclusively. That's going to be very meaningful for your brand. And so the reason I like to talk about this continuum is that it gives a lot of liberation to podcasters to feel like, wow, there really is no threshold, but what I pitch has to change based on where I'm at.
Yeah, because when you're at the highest level, the audience size itself is the pitch. But like you said, yeah, for most brands, having, you know, a spot on a small listener podcast is not going to make a huge difference. Yeah. So that, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So what would you say, like, if somebody was getting, like, let's say 1,000 downloads per episode, is that even then, like, is there a way where a brand would pay something? Like, I guess my question is, there are certain companies that are quite niche and serve a niche market, and there are certain podcasts that have a small listenership, but a very engaged listenership in that one random little spot. So what is the relationship there?
Okay, so let me answer this question with an anecdote, a real story, okay? Which is that I got my podcast, Creator Debates, sponsored before I even launched it, okay? And, you know, I had no idea how it was going to perform, right? I had no idea how many average listens I was going to get, you know? And I tell this story for a couple of reasons. One, because a lot of people think that the only way that they could attract a sponsor is by flashing, opening the metrics trench coat and being like, look what I've got. Look at all this demographics and all this and do the dance, right? For those of you who are not watching this video, make sure to go find the video of that. And the real narrative, the story that I told when I was pitching ConvertKit, which is a big shout out to ConvertKit, who was the sponsor of my podcast when it's launched, is I came to them and I said, look, I don't know how this is going to go, but the persona of who are going to listen to this, they're the exact customer persona that you're trying to target. Now, of course, I have a bit of a track record, right? I've got a newsletter with 30,000 creators on it. I've got a YouTube channel. I've got a social media. So I'm not like a nobody, obviously, but I leaned on the fact that it's this kind of like, let's see how this thing goes, right? And so when I forged that deal with them, you know, it was for a dollar amount that I felt comfortable with. You know, we basically shook hands and we were like, okay, you know, let's see how this goes. And we can kind of do it on a month-to-month thing. And if either of us wants to part ways at any point, fine, sounds good. But I got definitely more money than I would have it had I been charging just CPM, which is what most podcasters try to do. And it was much more about the power of ConvertKit being able to say that they came in from the ground floor. They were supporting me from the beginning. I've told this story that I'm telling you now 15 times on various podcasts. So there's all this brand affinity and you know, afterglow, this halo effect that occurs when brands will oftentimes support creators from the beginning or in the nascent stages of their career. And so I think that this is like an important anecdote because it's all about the narrative. It's all about the story that you can tell when you're trying to pitch a sponsor, right? And so it's not always about the numbers. It's not always about the metrics or the analytics. And so I want to share this story because it really surprises me sometimes when podcasters who are literally getting 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 in a very niche industry, a very specific industry. And they're like, I don't think I could get sponsors. And I'm like, do you have any idea how difficult it is for companies and brands in your niche to find places to market? It's very difficult.
It costs right? them so, thousands yes. just to, it costs them so much money just to find those people. So the fact that that you're just sitting there in like a pool of all those people, that is obviously incredibly valuable. They don't have to spend the money to get the audience.
Let me tell you another anecdote. One of my coaching clients, his name is Paul Jameson, and he runs a podcast called the Green Industry Podcast. That's what it's called, okay? And Paul, you're gonna love this dude. Paul teaches lawn care professionals how to grow their business. And he is getting—
There's a market for that? On podcasting,
150,000 downloads a month.
Okay, wait. So lawn care professionals, so people who run businesses that serve people's lawns, that make their lawns look better.
Correct.
Or yes. live better.
Exactly. And so this is literally helping them. Okay, how do you get more customers? How do you, you know, upsell? How do you do like, you know, landscaping?
Okay.
Like little things, right? So it's like, and there's strategy. You know, how do you get more customers in a neighborhood so that it's more efficient for your teams to go and mow everyone's lawn on one street?
Okay.
You know, there's like, yeah. there's a lot of strategy to like the growing a business like that, right? And so he was really struggling when we first started working together, mainly because a lot of the brands in his industry, because it's kind of traditional, they were used to giving people either free products or loans. They're like, hey, this is a $10,000, $15,000 tractor. We're going to loan it to you for 3 months. And you're going to make a bunch of content with it. And then we got to take it back, right? This was a lot of the deals that people were forging. And so he came in there, we worked together and I was like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to start educating brands. We're going to get on Zoom calls with them. You're going to go to the conferences. And you're going to start to explain to them the value of like why you would want to hire someone like me. You know, the narrative that he would say is like, look, all of my listeners, they're on their mowers all day long. They're not watching YouTube videos. They're not, you know, reading magazines. They're listening to podcasts, namely my podcast about how to grow their business. So doing ad reads with me is a much better investment for you than allocating it in this other more traditional area that you were doing over here. And so it took him a while to just do this education. But like now he finally broke through and the floodgates have opened for him. And he's inking deals with John Deere and Toro and Lowe's and all of these very large companies. But it took education in the beginning because he was in this more traditional industry.
I want to take a moment to just plug a little podcast strategy with this guy, with this guy, Paul, who you just mentioned. Like, people listen to how unbelievably niche that is. But he's the only guy, let's not say the only, but he's probably the top guy in that little pond of people. And the other thing I wanted to add is like, one of the time that I would spend the most time listening to podcasts was my dad has a massive lawn, like multiple lawns. And I would do the ride on lawnmower and I would listen to podcasts for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time. So if you have a business about lawn care, what better way to spend your idle brain time? That is so genius. Love that.
Dude, one more anecdote on that point.
Yeah.
I had another coaching client. His name was Gaurav, and he was in the niche of helping people get better jobs, get promotions, change a new job, get raises, this type of thing. And we did a coaching call and he wanted some advice about like what content format he should expand into next. Cause he saw a lot of traction on TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that. And he was like, I really want to start a YouTube channel, right? Cause that's really good for me. And we had the same conversation and I was like, bro, let's talk about your reader or your audio or your persona of your audience is like, these are people who are probably commuting on the train or driving to their job and they're not watching YouTube videos. It probably makes way more sense for you to start a podcast instead of a YouTube channel. So this is, you can't just blindly go into this stuff because we only have so many hours in the day. And so, you know, if you're thinking about where to expand the content universe for anyone listening or watching, you really do have to be mindful about this stuff.
Yeah, great advice beyond like, you know, even beyond the idea of sponsorship. So, and I can tell that, you know, a lot of what you do is also like marketing and copywriting, like you're talking about thinking about the listener, thinking about the reader, whatever, whoever you're targeting. Now, one thing I want to go way back to that we skipped over is CPM. So first of all, can you just explain CPM better than I can? Because what I used to say was that this might not even be correct anymore, but what I thought was that brands will pay around $25 per 1,000 downloads for a 60-second spot. That might be different now, but I would love for you to just educate me.
Yeah. So CPM stands for cost per mille, which is basically cost per 1,000 impressions or downloads or listens or whatever. It varies across platform. But your metric of $25 to $35 per 1,000 views is still pretty accurate, I would say. But the reason that I believe CPM is kind of a flawed metric is that it really encourages commoditization of you and your show. Right? Because, you know, if you're only getting 1,000 downloads or listens, a lot of people are like $25 for like an ad read. Like, that's not worth it to me. Like, I don't want to deal with the headache with the brand. And like, you know, it's not really going to add up to really anything meaningful for me. Even if my back catalog is getting, you know, 5 to 10,000, 30,000 views, it just doesn't seem like it makes dollars and cents, especially if you're someone who is monetizing your podcast in other ways. Maybe you're using it for lead generation and your, you know, product services, you know, coaching, whatever courses, you're thinking like, why would I even entertain sponsorships? Because it makes no sense, right? Like I could use that inventory for my own stuff. It seems like a better choice. And the reason that I can speak to this very credibly because we worked with a lot of podcast agencies who subcontracted our influencer agency to go out and find podcasts, go out and find YouTube channels. And they would send us this like spreadsheet, bro. And it would have every row would be like a show, right? A podcast or a YouTuber or something, right? And they would say, okay, fill it out. Like how many average downloads? What's the user demographics? What's the blah, blah, blah? What's the, you know, CPM? What's the, this type of thing? And so they really didn't care about the show. All they cared about, no, they were spending, you know, $1 million a month on behalf of Audible or HelloFresh or at the time Blue Apron or Casper, or all the, you know, whatever these guys, Athletic Greens, whatever it is. And as long as the demographics fit what they were looking for, as long as the CPM was within the range that the brand was okay spending, they would book you and they would see how it went. And if it went well, they would rebook you, right? But if your CPM fell outside of what they were sanctioned to spend, they would just delete the row. They would be like, no, thanks. Move on to the next one, right? You were a commodity. And so for those of us, which I believe are the majority of podcasters out there, that's a flawed model. That's not a game that you want to get into. It makes way more sense to, you have to understand what is the value that you are bringing to these niche brands and niche companies that probably extend far beyond the downloads that you're getting. And it goes back to some of this stuff we were talking about the continuum, whether it's generating content for them, helping them understand their social content, ad strategy, helping them with consulting. And yes, of course, doing ad reads on your platform can, you know, on your show can be part of it, but maybe not the core part of it, right? And so every deal that I do, when a brand comes inbound to me, the number one thing that I do, Justin, is I say, tell me about your objectives, brand. What is your goal? What are you trying to do? Is it generate more awareness? Are you trying to get assets to repurpose, as we talked about? Or yeah, maybe it is conversions. Maybe it's sales. Maybe it's software app downloads, whatever it is. I need to know that because I'm going to provide to you a bespoke proposal, a bespoke recommendation of all of the things that I believe we should do to help you accomplish that. So a big mistake that podcasters make is they say, okay, here's my media kit. Here's my rate card. Here's how much it is per, you book a package of 10 ad reads, and here's the rate that I give to every brand. And I say, no. You have to say, okay, hey, brand A, you say that this is your objective. Great. Well, here's what I think we should do for you. We should do the ad reads. We should do a dynamic sponsorship of the entire back catalog. And I should do a webinar for you, because this is what you're trying to do, right? And then brand B over here, you're saying that this other thing is an objective here. You're trying to do lead generation and you're trying to get people to attend your conference that's happening over here. And so here's the tactic and the strategy that I'd recommend to you. And it's going to be a very different, you know, investment for this thing over here. And so this is really the core, one of the core things that I teach, is that every deal that you have to do has to be priced differently.
So what you're saying here is what is definitely something you said before is true. This goes beyond and outside of what I would have ever considered a sponsorship, quote unquote, to be. What you're talking about is actually like, it's being a content creator. Like, your whole brand makes so much sense to me now, hearing you say this, and you're the creator wizard. It's like, that's not sponsorships, but it is. Like, it makes perfect sense. I also, the question that came up, which I know that somebody is probably asking now, is like, so then what are the different ways that you can have a sponsor on a podcast? Because so hear me for a second, because I'm thinking, like, you know, what you're saying is that it's not just the numbers and the downloads and the cold hard data. It's the story. It's the story of your podcast, of what you're trying to accomplish with it, but it's also the story of you and why you might be a good spokesperson for their product or their brand or whatever. And so what I'm wondering is, like, you know, are there different ways to insert, like, you know, can the brand have their logo on the artwork, or can it be like, what about where you place the ad, like the middle or the start or the end? I know the end is probably the worst. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I want to give everyone watching or listening, and maybe you, some tough love on this particular point. And then we'll get into the tactics of various placements and all that stuff too, because it matters. But if you're listening to this and the only thing that you can offer to a sponsor is podcast ad reads, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. Because it's very difficult for you to provide any sort of flexibility in these packages that you're providing to them if the only variance that you have between the different tiers is just like more quantity, right? It's like, this package is like 5 reads, this package is 10, and maybe the only, you know, this one's 15. And the only reason that a sponsor would pick package 5 is a price concession. Like, I'll give you a 10% discount if you pick volume, right? Or duration of the partnership. That's not really that compelling, right? And so if you're listening to this and that's the only lever you have, the very first thing you should be thinking about is what one additional content format can I start to explore? Whether it's short form content on social media, whether it's a newsletter, whether it's a blog, whether it's, you know, long form YouTube content, something else, so that you have other things to offer a prospective sponsor, so that you can amplify or syndicate the campaign in a way that starts to get the brand excited about doing the more holistic partnership. So that's the first tough love that I would give to everyone, is like, you can't just be in your corner of the universe anymore. That's not the world we live in. People are multi platform. They're multi-hype, you know, passionate. They're consuming things, lots of different things. And so if you're in here in your universe thinking that the only way I can serve my people is with a podcast, wake up. It's 2020, it's 2024, and people can learn from you on in other ways. Okay. So that's number one. Okay. Second thing I'll say with respect to actual tactical executions of these partnerships, you're 100% right. So let's say the brand says to you, yeah, our goal is awareness, right? Like that's what we're chiefly, you know, I'll give you a specific example. I had a sponsor come inbound, and when I asked them this question, they said, whenever anyone hears the word membership, we want them to associate that with our brand name. That's what they told us. That we don't really care that much about the conversions and the clicks and all. It's important, but like mainly it's like brand association, right? And we said, okay, right? And so when I execute a deal like that, probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, this episode is brought to you by Brand X. And that's the only time that I mention it. I may not even say it in the show notes. Maybe. Right? Maybe I have on the podcast cover art, Creator Debates, powered by Brand X. That's an awareness-focused tactic, right? Contrast that with the brand who says conversions, direct response, app downloads. That is the goal that we have. Okay, use the promo code CreatorWizard20 for 20% off your first purchase. Click the show notes, top of the description. That is a conversion-focused tactic. So if you as a podcaster are not asking the brand what the objective is, how can you possibly craft content that will optimize for what the brand is trying to accomplish? And a lot of people think, oh man, this sounds really overwhelming. But look, if you can tie the brand's objective to how you actually execute it, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to perform better. And then they're going to want to hire you again.
Yeah, this is great. And just like, the other thing that you said just before about like diversifying the way that you can create content, like I love that idea. It's like if you really like the brand as well, like if you believe in the brand, it could also be pretty easy for you to create a few pieces of short form content every single month or a couple of week to go along with your offer. Like you're going to be in the podcast, but you're also going to, I'm going to give you content that you can use, you know, yourself in your paid media and your ads or whatever or anything on your website. But I'm also going to post one thing on my account. And look, I have 3,000 Instagram followers of the same type of audience or 10,000, whatever. So I think that my biggest takeaway from this was like, you have more to offer than just reading an ad on your show. You do not have a million downloads a month. Reading an ad on your show is not attractive enough anymore.
Dude, like, quick anecdote here, story. So one of my ongoing sponsors is Circle, which is like a membership, you know, community platform. Yeah. And so I do a lot of work in partnership with them. And one of the, you know, partnerships that we did was similar to what you were describing is, you know, I did some newsletter blasts, I did some social stuff, but critically what I pitched them with the social assets was, hey, listen, you know, it seems like you guys are trying to ramp up your paid media spend, your paid advertising strategy beyond just organic stuff. How about this? How about when I make these four short form pieces of content that I'm going to post across LinkedIn, X, and you know Instagram over the next couple of months, how about I film separate hooks and separate calls to action for these same assets? And so when I'm saying in the ads, and then I'll send you two different versions, one that goes organically on my page and one that you use for paid media. So the one that's on my page says, you know, oh yeah, this is how I use my community, blah, 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 blah. Let me know in the comments, like, what do you feel is your biggest obstacle to launching a paid community, you know, today or whatever, right? And then the ad version says, doesn't say that, it says, click below to sign up for a free trial of Circle. And so hugely valuable to the brand to have someone that they can partner with that understands how useful that can be, how they can extend the mileage of the partnership in that way.
It's crazy, man. This has been like, this goes definitely beyond, this blew my expectations out of the water in terms of what we're going to talk about. I learned so much here. Obviously, sponsorship and podcast go, like they get so, they're so like used together all the time. People think that, you know, the only way to make money from a podcast is by getting a company to come and pay you to read ads. That's like the, I think that's like the common sentiment, right? This just like totally. So I like that is a great place for me to end it. I want to know, like, is there any like wrap up thought or something that you wish I asked you that I didn't ask you or something like that?
Yes, I have one thing specifically to your audience. I want to make sure I say this, which is that some of you may be like, okay, yes, I get it, but I don't know. I still make more money selling my own stuff. My coaches, my coursing, my e-courses, my products, this type of thing. Why would I just don't want to work with sponsors. I don't want to go there. And let me tell you something, which is that it's not about you and maximizing your income as a business or as an entrepreneur. It is about serving your audience. And it is unrealistic to believe that the only way in which you can serve your audience or customers is with your own products. Because there are lots of other, I call it my PSA, your products, your sponsors, and your alliances. You have to understand, yeah, of course you can sell your own things and help them, but there's probably a lot of products or services that you're never going to offer as a business, as a company. And so it's in your best interest to go out there and try to find brands and companies where you know, if I put this in front of my audience, yeah, maybe I don't have a bookkeeping software, but I have an audience of small business owners where I know this is a major pain point for them. I better go out there and forge a deal with a bookkeeping company because that's going to help them. Because what do you think is going to happen when you help them, your customers, achieve some sort of outcome or grow their business? They're going to think more favorably upon you. And they're going to think, oh, I'm more likely now to purchase Justin's thing because he helped me in this other way. And then that final bucket about alliances, this is the most scary thing for people is like, hey, do you have other friends who offer courses or coaching or products or things like that that are also really good? That are not brands, but like actual other entrepreneurs, other creators, other people like that. You better go out there and start forging joint ventures or affiliate deals or things like that where you're shining a spotlight on other people's stuff as well. Because again, it's not about you. It's not about you making money. It's about serving your audience. And so if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know if sponsorships are for me, just think about it from this perspective. And it might get you excited about entertaining this because like, wow, yeah, I am service first. I do want to serve my customers in that way. And this is the way to do it.
Wow. Dude, mic drop. This has been awesome. Like, seriously.
Let's just go, bro. Let's just go.
No way.
I couldn't let this entire podcast go without a sound effect, man. I had to do it.
I came out of nowhere with a soundboard. that is so funny. That's a highlight right there. I definitely have competition here for the more entertaining Justin Moore. This is going to be a bit of a battle.
I mean, I had to bring the hot sponsorship flames because I knew I was going to be chatting with another Justin Moore. I had to let everyone know who the real Justin Moore was. You know,
we better stop there before I pull my guitar out and start doing a little serenade, doing a little Justin Moore country song.
Dude, but thank you so much for having me, man. And if anyone, you know, if this tickles your brain at all, I have a free newsletter at creatorwizard.com/join. I have about 35,000 creators and entrepreneurs on there, articles, videos. You know, really the main reason you should join is that I send you sponsorship opportunities for free every single week. So yeah, creatorwizard.com/join.
You guys better join that. We're going to link that below. I want to see a few people join that from this thing because it's going to be so, so valuable. I'm going to join it. I mean, 100%. I want to also talk to you, you know, about the music stuff that I do as well, because there's a whole other angle in my life where, you know, trying to blow up my music Instagram and there might be something there too. So we'll chat after. That's a good thing about podcasting too. You're making connections, right? Building relationships with other people with the same name as you too. So that's definitely an added benefit.
Dude, totally, man. And thanks again for having me, man. This is a blast.
Yeah, of course. Okay, thanks so much. Hey, just before you go, I'm really happy that you made it to the end of this episode. It means the world to me. I only want to ask for one thing in return for putting together all this content for free. And that's just leaving a review if you can, wherever you're listening, if it's Apple or Spotify. Just leaving a quick review is super, super helpful for us. It's going to help more people find the show so I can keep putting this content together for free. Thank you so much. And we will see you on the next episode of Oh My Pod.